Thank God. Well, let's start in 1 Peter 1. Thank God for Jesus. First Peter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Notice verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what we celebrate today, that living hope through Him. The fact that He is risen, the fact that He died and rose again. He came, He was born, but if He hadn't gone to the cross, He'd have just been another man. He was God incarnate. But He went to the cross. And not only that, He rose from the dead. Yes. And everything pivots on that. Either He did or He didn't. Because if He didn't, like it says in their place, we're the most foolish of all men. We might as well just party and just live out this life, because that's all there is. We're just fools. We're stupid if we believe on Jesus. But if He rose from the dead, if He's God Almighty, if that's the Son of the living God, then we ought to know what He said and we ought to believe on Him. If He said whatever He said, we ought to know, and this is critical. But blessed be the God of our Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I want to talk about today what happened if we believe on that, if we believe that in our hearts and believe that that's true, that that's not some fairy tale. What happens to us? Why does that matter? What happens? What changes? What goes on? What is the thing that happens to us and in our position that it makes a difference? Let's turn to Romans 3. Thank God, because everything, this is the most important decision we've ever made. It's good to know what actually went on, what happened, and it gives us boldness. This doesn't affect just the hereafter. This doesn't affect just eternity. This affects now. This affects our life now. When we know what really happened, it just gives us boldness. When we know who we are. Thank God. Romans 3, verse 21. It says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. I want you to notice the word righteousness in these verses, because that's what we're going to be talking about. To demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now that's a mouthful. Hold your finger there and let's go over. Hold your finger in Romans. Let's go over just one page in my Bible to Romans 4:24. Righteousness. What is righteousness, because it says that the righteousness of God is revealed. And that righteousness is what God revealed and what was imparted to us, as we're going to see if we believe on Him, that we become righteous. What does that mean? Romans 4:24. It shall be imputed to us. He's talking about righteousness right there in context, and we'll see that. It shall be imputed to us who believe in Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Why did Jesus go to the cross? He was delivered up because of our offenses. He was raised because of our justification. He didn't need to go. He didn't need to go for Himself. He's the Son of the living God. There's nothing wrong with Him. It was a ransom. He came, bore the sin of the whole world. You say, how does that work? I don't know. How much is the Son of the living God worth? How many humans? How many humans lie? How many is He worth? He's the perfect Son of the Creator of everything. How much is it worth? 100? 1,000? 100 billion? A trillion? 10 trillion? How many? No measure. He's an overpayment. He's an overpayment for the sins of the whole world. How does that equation work? I don't know. The Bible says it. But how much is the Son of God worth? Infinity. I mean, is infinite worth? How much is your child worth? Just put it down to where you are. How many dollars? How many other kids? You don't want to think of it that way. But how much is he or she worth? You can't put a price on that. You can't, your mind just rolls over at that point. You can't, how much, there's no amount of money anybody could pay you to take that child away. None. Well, God Almighty gave His only Son. You say, how does that work? Well, He identified with humanity forever. The Bible says the man, Jesus Christ. When He appeared, He looked like a man. But He was there in the beginning. The Bible says He was there when the worlds were created. Jesus was there, always been. He's part of the Godhead. But He identified with man. He had to become a man to pay the price. And forever. Forever, He's identified with us. When they saw Him last, He had scars in His hands. It's real. He identified with us, and it wasn't Him that needed it. It was us. But what did He buy us? What changed? It shall be imputed to us who believe in Him. Righteousness, we'll see that. In Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. It shall be imputed to us who believe in Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now let's read that in the Amplified. This makes it a little more clear. Righteousness. What are we talking about? What happened? What are we celebrating today? Why do people get happy about it? Just religious exercise? No. Verse 24, Romans 4:24 and Amplified on your sheet there. Righteousness, standing acceptable to God, will be granted and credited to us also who believe in, who trust in, adhere to, and rely on God, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds, and was raised to secure our justification, our acquittal, making our account balance and absolving us from all guilt before God. That's what happened. Should we read that again? Righteousness, standing acceptable to God, will be granted and credited to us also who believe. If we believed on Him, we were granted right standing with the King of the universe. Right standing. We're going to see this over and over. Right standing. We are in right standing because of us? No. Because of me? Because I'm good? No. And this is a stumbling block because people look at what is going on and how they see what your righteousness is in yourself or my righteousness. And so all religions are the same. Oh, it doesn't matter. Or how good a person you are. Well, I see this person over here and they don't look as good as this person. So how can that be right? You're looking at the wrong thing. Is that important? Yes. It is important because for that exact reason, people look at you. If your living isn't right, they look at you and go, and you call yourself a Christian. I don't want them to say that about me and who I serve. But that's why, yeah, our living is important. But it doesn't buy us right standing with the King of the universe. One thing can do that. His Son was the ransom, the payment that puts us in right standing. You say, well, but people say, well, all the stuff that I can do, that should be enough. Who said? It's not. To go back to perfection, it's not some game that he set up. Well, I'm just going to set this up and I'm going to send my son. No, we cannot stand in his presence, period. He's the one that said, they can't do it. I'm going to send my son to pay the price. They can't pay it. I will send it. Notice it wasn't for his sake. It was for our sake. He came and he said, I'm going to pay it. And it will be for all humanity. Now, whether they receive it or not, it's paid. Whether they take it, it's paid. But if you don't take it and say, yeah, but I did all these things, it doesn't matter. We're not in right standing. They're not going to let me into the Red Sox game because I photoshopped a ticket and printed it out and said, yeah, but I did a good job, didn't I? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have the hologram on it or whatever. It's not the real thing. And who determines that? They do. It's not enough. I did it on my own. I thought it was good. Somebody else say, yeah, that'll get you in. The ticket guy won't let me in. And we're not just talking about some stamped ticket going to heaven. We're talking about right standing with God now. Because something happened now. That's why people put it off. Well, yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. I'll just wait. You know, my friend, whatever. I'll just go. We'll just see what happens. It's not about that. We are eternal beings. And right now, today, we are either in right standing with God or we're not. And I thank God that I know him and we are in right standing. That's something that happens now. It's a state. So he said, verse 25, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds and was raised to secure our justification, our acquittal. We're acquitted, declared not guilty. The judge said they're not guilty. Why? Because Jesus paid for it. He paid for it. Yeah, but he paid for it. Not guilty. Payment's been made. Jesus took it all. He bore the punishment. It's been paid. I can't be punished for the same crime. I can't be punished. Jesus has already been punished. You say that's not fair. It's not. It's not fair. Thank God he's a good, merciful God. I don't deserve it. But he does. And he's imputed, gave his righteousness to me. So he was raised to secure our justification, our acquittal, making our account balance and absolving us from all guilt before God. Not guilty. Not guilty. Today, I'm not guilty. We're not guilty. We can go before him without any sense of inferiority and say, God, what about this? God, I need help on this. People say he's too busy. No, he's not. He's God. He can take it all. He can do it all. He knows how to multitask. We think our iPods and stuff can multitask. My goodness, God, like I've said before, he's not impressed with our hardware or anything. He blow all that stuff away. He can do it all. I don't know how he does it. He can talk to all of us and make it seem like we're the only one in the room. Handle all the requests. But let's go back to Romans 3 real quick before we came out. With that understanding, now read Romans 3 before we go on. Romans 3:21. This isn't just an Easter message. This is what is our state of being. This affects everything. When we know we're right with God, it changes. When we go around with that, we can know it, but when we go around with that consciousness, it changes how we act. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. See, the righteousness of God apart from the law or apart from what you can do and not do in and of yourself. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, his righteousness, not mine, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. Not not who all jump through a bunch of hoops, not who go to church, not who is a certain lineage, who believe. So we're all qualified. For there is no different, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all messed it. And we're going to miss it again. That's not to say we don't want to. Every truly born-again Christian, we're going to talk about that term, Christian, you don't want to sin. You don't want to mess up. Anybody that tells you that, oh yeah, I can do whatever I want. No, that's the wrong heart. Don't mess with that. But anybody that's born again, that is a child, you don't want to mess it, but you will. That's not a bad confession. At some point, you're going to blow it. Thank God we have Him. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God passed over the sins who were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. That He is just in justifying us. He's just in acquitting us because He paid the price. The price has been paid. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. We have such a rich inheritance. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, he's a new creation. You're a new person. When we say, yes, I believe on Him, I believe on Jesus, something happens. It's not just, oh, okay, we said a bunch of words. No, something happens to us. What? On our outside? No. Our physical body? No. Our mind? No. Our spirit, which is going to live forever, the part of you that's eternal. Your mind will be with your spirit, but your body is going to be in the ground. If you get born again, if you trust on Him, you look the same. You know? Color of your skin stayed the same. Amount of hair you had on the head stayed the same. Whatever, you know, if there's certain things going through your head beforehand, going to be certain things going through afterwards, that's a process to get that changed. So we line up what we think with what that book says. That's a process. That doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. But our insides changed. Born again. We're going to look at that. But it's recreated. We our insides, we're a brand new creation, and the creation, we have now the Father as our Father, God Himself. Remember what we read in 1 Peter at the beginning? Don't turn back there. But what does it say? It says, blessed be the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. See, He begot us. We are born new. We are born changed. See, that's how that person in the inside is righteous, is in right standing. So many times people miss it because we look at the outside. Well, you don't look any different. Nothing happened. That's all in your head. No. Inside, I'm changed. I'm in right standing with God because of Him. I've been born into the family. So verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then verse 19, God was in Christ reconciling the world, to Himself. He's paid it all. Paid it. For the whole world is all paid. This is like you have a bunch of tickets sitting up in the ticket office. It's paid. If I don't know about it, or if I know about it, choose not to believe it. Choose to believe it. Don't go pick them up. They're still paid. He's all paid. Sin's all paid. God's not going to send anybody to hell for any specific sin. It's going to be the sin of rejecting His Son. That's the only thing. People get all caught up on certain sins. Well, nope, it's just rejecting the Son of the living God. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we would become. See, we were messed up. We were in sin. And we weren't perfect, in other words. But he made Jesus, who knew no sin, who there was no spot, he was spotless, to be sin, that we, who weren't righteous, might become righteous. It's a trade. Yep. But it's not just something on paper. We became different. We are different. We are in right standing. Now, we're using the Amplified a lot today. We don't necessarily do that, but this subject is very clear. Look at 2 Corinthians in the Amplified. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them. Verse 21, for our sake he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, which is what we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness. Look at that last sentence. We are righteous. What is that? We already saw it's right standing with God. It's what we ought to be. We're approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness. We are. We've been made new. Hallelujah. Thank God. Let's read John. We're gonna go over to Romans, but let's read in John. We mentioned born again. In John 3, verse 1. What is, you know, people say, what is born again? What does that mean? That's some term people throw around, born again, if you're a born again Christian. It's just from the Bible. But sometimes we don't go over these things and we pick them up and we get in church and, oh, you're born again, okay. And we just go on and we don't know why we use this talk, because you can get into Christianese, you know what I mean by that? We start talking a certain language nobody else understands. You start picking up these words. And not going to go there. But, you know, we can start making our language and people just look at you like, what are you talking about? Why don't you talk English? But born again is not one of those things. You don't have to throw it around all the time. But it is biblical and it means something. It's what happened to us when we believed on him. John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus and said to him, see now he's thinking just what he sees. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's like, what? What are you talking about? How? Huh? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now look what he says. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So we are born of spirit. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, it says in another place. When we were born again, when we are recreated, like we just read in 2 Corinthians, we were born, our spirit was born again. New creation, new creature, made completely righteous and acceptable before God. But his spirit, it's the part of you that's going to live forever, but people can't see. That we live in a natural world. This will pass away, but we are spirits. Everybody's going to live forever one way or another. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. So that came from Jesus. But that, like we read in Peter, that you were begotten. You were born again. That you were made a new creation. That he's our Father. That's what happened when we believe on him. We become a new creature, new creation, made right, in right standing with him, so we can go boldly right before him. Talk to him. Because of what we did? No. Because it was imputed to us, because it was given to us. Why? Because we believed. Because we believed on him by faith. Let's go to Romans. Thank God. Romans 10, 1. Now, he's in the middle of talking about the nation of Israel and where they're at in relation to all this. We're going to pick up there, but we're not going to go. That's the context. That's why he's referring to Israel. He says in verse 1, he says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. That sums up what a whole lot of people in the world are doing. They don't understand what we're talking about, that God, through Jesus, made the way to him, to God the Father. And it has to do with righteousness. It's not some game. It's not some little prayer. It's faith. You can say all the prayers you want. If you don't believe it, it's not to get, you know, if you don't just chatter something, if you do just repeat something, but it's not believing from your heart, nothing happens. It's not a game. We're talking about reality, that in the spiritual realm, when you believe, something happens, you make a demand on that you say, I'll take it. I'll take that payment that Jesus made. And something happens, my inside's recreated, and I'm right before him. I'm a different person. May not look like it, but I have just been put in the family of God. And now I'm a new person. And see, it doesn't have to do with semantics. It doesn't have to do with church. It doesn't have to do with any of that. It's believing him. Something happens. I come and be. And now I'm in a new family. I'm a new person inside. Not figuratively. Not hypothetically, really. The spiritual realm is more real than this. It's just that we just see with our five senses what we can, you know, ascertain. And so we're used to just saying this is all there is. How do we see beyond that? The Word of God, he tells us. And it's by faith then we believe something happens on the inside and we're a new person. See, it all comes back to whether he really rose from the dead or not. If he was who he said he was, then what he said was true. What the people that said that heard him say is true. And then what he says will happen when we act on it. That's why people don't like this book. That's why people want to get rid of it. That's why people, oh, it's a bunch of fairy tales. It's not a bunch of fairy tales. God Almighty came here. So either that's real or not. And if he rose from the dead and appeared, he appeared to more than 500 people at once, it says in one place. There is historical evidence. Either these people are all a bunch of liars, or they're telling the truth, and they saw what they saw, and then we can put our faith in or put our confidence in what's here, and then when what's here and we put our faith in it, something happens from the eternal and we become different. And we become in right standing with him. So let's keep reading. Verse 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. It's so tempting, even if you're a Christian, to make a set of rules and regulations so you feel good about yourself. But it doesn't have to do with that. It has to do with our position, our right standing. We're made in right standing, put in a position so that I am right before him. But it's so tempting to go back and start making these rules and write, okay, if I do this, I'm good. I feel good. I feel like I'm on today. Oh, I just messed up. I'm a little off. What does that mean, people say? Oh, I just don't know that I don't have the confidence that I feel like I should. If I go to God, I'm not 100% sure that my prayer is going to be answered. See, that's a lie of the enemy. Because if that'd be like Andrew, my son, he has a position with me that's unique. It'd be like him always feeling, now there's a relationship there and everything, but it'd be like him feeling like somehow he's got to maintain certain behavior so that he maintains that relationship with me. He's my son. So he can come to me. I'm never going to turn my back on my son. Well, through Jesus, we are all sons and daughters of Almighty God. We have a relationship with him. And so we don't have to, we can't make our own way of doing things trying to get that. Jesus imputed it to us. He gave it to us, and we are that way. So we don't ever have to be off. We don't have to worry about being off. We can just go boldly and be always confident that because of him, I'm righteous. I'm in right standing. My prayers are heard. Period. Now, before we go on to the next verse, just look down your sheet a little bit there. I have some of this in Amplified so we could refer to it. But verse 3, see, for being ignorant of the righteousness of God, the righteousness that God ascribes, which makes one acceptable to him in word, thought, and deed, and seeking to establish a righteousness, a means of salvation. Mm-hmm. See how many, that's what religion comes from. People say, well, if this is the way to God, I'm going to, you know, and they come up with the rules and regulations, and they say, well, this is the way it is. That's why there's so many religions. But it's God who establishes that, and the only way is he established his son. That's the one payment, and that's the only way that can make us inside a new person, completely righteous, and seeking to establish a righteousness, a means of salvation of their own. They did not obey or submit themselves to God's righteousness. So let's go back up in the other version, in verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. We're in the New King James Version now. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will ascend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not church doctrine, not church creed, not what I said. It's what the word of the living God said. And he said, if you'll believe on his sacrifice, you will be, now it's another term that we throw around, saved. Again, we just read it. What does that mean? Saved from, you know, eternal separation from God. And on this earth, we can start living as his children. It's not something off. But what does that mean? It's mean you're saved from a life, eternity, away from him. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what does that mean then? You're made righteous. All right, let's just go through a little bit of these few verses in the Amplified. Wrap it up. Verse 6 in the Amplified now on your sheet. But the righteousness based on faith, imputed by God and bringing right relationship with him, says, do not say in your heart who will ascend in heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead, as if we could be saved by our own efforts. You can't. Can't. And you can't stay saved. You can't buy anything from God on your own efforts. Mm-hmm. You can't get your prayer to answer, your prayers answered on your own efforts. It's by Him. And if we'll just keep that in mind, I was made righteous, I came in the family because of what He did, I stay here and I walk because of what He did. If we just keep that straight, it's good. We don't, if someone tries to come and say, well, you got to do this and that. Yeah, we want to live right, but my relationship wasn't based on what I did to begin with. So it's not maintained that way. I don't get my prayers answered that way. It's because of what He did. Then you have faith. Then you have boldness. Then you go right in and say, my prayers work. Why? Because of Him. Because I'm righteous. Over in James, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. I'm righteous. If we believe on Him, we're righteous. Therefore, we have an audience with God. Because of us? No. Because of what He, the position He placed me in. He placed us in. Verse 8, what does it say? The word, God's message in Christ, is near you, on your lips, in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis and object of faith which we preach. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, rely on the truth that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Not begging, not pleading, not maybe, no. Will be. Verse 10, for with the heart, the inner person, a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God, and with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith, and confirms his salvation. Verse 13, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, invoking Him as Lord, will be saved. Hallelujah. That's simple. That we got, that's what happened. That's why when we come to Easter Sunday, when we come to Resurrection Sunday, that He rose from the dead, that we believed on Him, that we were made righteous, put in right standing, He declared us not guilty. You're acquitted. You're free. The balance sheet, it balances. Everything is right. You're right with me. That's something to just thank God. That's why we celebrate. This is the cornerstone of what we believe. And it carries through. It's not just Easter. It's every day that we wake up and say, thank God for Jesus. Thank God that I can talk to you right now and I have an audience. Not because of me, because I may have messed up last night, but thank God for Jesus today. And I can have an awesome day today. And if I need something, I have an audience with Him. And I can go to Him and He answers my prayers because of me. No, because of Jesus. Because I am righteous. I have the position. Hallelujah. We know Him. And we take Him at His word. He says we're righteous. We're righteous. Who might argue? Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so glorious what we celebrate today. I know, I just woke up, saw the kids. Happy Easter. Just means something. You know, it can mean nothing, like just a holiday, but just looking at, you know, my kid, happy Easter. They don't know. Christina, Julia don't quite comprehend. They know Jesus. They don't comprehend what He did for them yet. Andrew and Brianna somewhat do. But just to say, God died for you. God made you right. Mm-hmm. Happy Easter. Happy. Glory to God. We can go home and have our nice meals. We can have Easter egg hunts. We can dress up in nice clothes. But really, none of it makes any difference if we don't know Him. And we can celebrate that every day. We don't got to get dressed up or anything. Yeah. Thank God. It's so good to celebrate. It's so good just to know Him and to celebrate. Thank God. He is good. Hallelujah. Thank God. Let's just take a minute. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God.